With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
This is the part of the show where we thank you, the ice cream truck driver. Thank you, ice cream truck drivers.
Give it up.
These are the people that take that fucking ice cream and they drive it straight into your ear holes. Right now, I'd like to thank Darren Cunningham, Darth Scooper, David Johnson, David Walker, Dead Laszlo, and Dirty Old Scoop. If you'd like to be an ice cream truck driver, and I'd really like it if you did, head on over to PreachingFun.com. PreachingFun.com is where you can go to sign up to be an ice cream truck driver, and who knows, the life you save may be your own. Woo, a little gassy.
Hey, Johnny, do you want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
Paul Mattingly walking around.
Yep.
The bionic man.
Ambulatory.
Ambulatory if you're nasty.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's sitting right now. It'd be weird if he was walking on that before.
It's time for Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from me in Pittsburgh on the new hip is Paul Mattingly.
Across from me, it's Matt Donnelly.
And over there is Jacob the Audio Guy.
We're preaching fun.
Also in studio, Pizza Scoop.
That's it.
Alex Bartman is here.
Hey, yes.
With a pizza shirt on.
Thank you for having me.
Well, he's back here at the Pizza Fest, right? The Pizza Fest is back here
pizza
in town.
Expo.
Ah!
Yeah,
oh, that is a good shirt for a Pizza Fest.
Thank you.
Yeah, but, it's a good shirt in general. It's a really good shirt for a Pizza Fest.
But shut up, Alex. We got to talk about Paul here.
Okay, I will.
Paul, how did it go? How are you? What's going on, pal?
It went well. Got in there and, you know, got under the knife pretty quick. It was an early morning procedure. I was first on the docket, which is what you want.
For anybody who doesn't know, Paul just got a hip replacement.
That's right.
Yes. Just this week got a hip replacement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, he's up and about.
You mm-hmm. brought chips with you to the hospital, yeah?
Chips?
You brought our poker chips to hand out at the hospital?
I did, but I didn't get a chance. I had 15 of them in my backpack, but everything got taken away from me immediately and put in a locker, and I was told to strip naked, so I was just left there with nothing.
Oh, it's like prison.
It was. Yeah. And it's kind of like prison. But I got to give shout out to Ann and my sister-in-law, Jean, and my mother-in-law, Diane, for showing up for me and hanging out for most of the day while I was unconscious and getting sawed apart. They were very kind to be there the whole time.
So that was great. You nervous?
I was surprisingly unnervous. Yeah. I mean, I've been in intense pain for the last 2 years. So I was kind of like, let's go. I was anxious. I was ready to get it done.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
You're
just ready to get on the other side of it. Be done with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the procedure went well. They said that they were surprised by how bad the joint was. And I'm like,
just the hospital?
The surgeons were.
But no, they were commenting on the joint of the hospital.
They were like, this
place is terrible.
This fucking dump. What a joke. Next
was that
time.
Asbestos over there?
Yeah. I mean, you might be getting a new hip, but this place sure isn't.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was jacked up. You know, it was all.
Yeah.
So they got that out of there, though. New pieces in. And I'm already walking, which is great. I can stand now again without having to feel like I need to sit down after like 2 minutes.
Great.
And the level of intense pain is gone. The mobility is different because everything got realigned. I was walking very crooked.
For a long time
to
compensate for your...
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything is realigned and I'm having to stretch out and readjust all those muscles. Plus there's just a ton of swelling and numbness still going on in that leg. Overall feeling better for the most part and just sleeping and snacking and walking and physical therapy in, and yeah.
And what is the physical therapy?
It's just simple leg exercises, and making sure that I'm up and about every hour and a half or so, that I, you know, just keep things moving. Yeah, that's all.
It's not something like where it's to the degree where they're making you get out of bed, though. Like you go to sleep, you sleep until you wake up.
I can just sleep. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not so urgent that you're up and about every hour and a half that you have to set alarms or anything.
No.
I'm picturing a Rocky montage. Are you like towing a tractor or like
chasing a chicken?
I'm not there yet. I am hoping to get more physically active with all of it eventually, but boy, right now it's just stiff as a motherfucker and just hurts.
You are right about one thing though, Matt. Whatever Paul is doing, Dolph Lundgren is somewhere doing a higher tech version of that.
That's right. Yeah. So now, is it weird to be experiencing maybe different discomfort, but not that sharp
pain?
Yeah,
it's a little strange. Yeah, it's strange. And then trying to make sure that I'm trying to walk more normally and straighten my toes out and straighten my feet out. And it's hard to unlearn that pain, because there is still pain in that leg.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm kind of still compensating a little bit, but I'm trying not to. I don't really have to as much, because it's not nearly as severe, the pain.
So the hip replacement pain is less pain than what you had before.
Yes. Yeah.
Good.
And that's going away day by day.
Yeah. It's getting diminished more and more.
Because I remember Goudreau got his hip replaced.
Yeah.
And I remember
Didn't he get both of them? Or
he might
just
have
the
gotten
one?
Both. I forget.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I know so many people that have gotten hip and knee replacements. I can't keep up with who's gotten what.
Yeah. But he would nervously go back into his old hip walk and have to remind himself to walk normally from time to time when we were working on stuff.
It's ingrained, yeah. It's weird. It's really weird.
Of course, Godot's hip walk that he would walk into was was Matt's crab walk. He had the two tongs,
you know,
his hands up by his head, and it kind of walks.
Like, no, your hips are fine. Your hips are fine.
Oh, I don't have to scuttle this way. Yeah,
put his hips down. Yeah.
Well, I am straightened up, which is nice. I'm not hunched over as bad. Already notice. But yeah, just how much the body compensates to keep you from experiencing pain.
By Scoop Fest, you'll be doing the morning jog with everyone around the Orleans, around the perimeter.
I don't think they do that. God, I hope we don't do that.
We don't have the fitness scoops.
Maybe there are some fitness scoops that do that. I don't think so.
I'm sure somebody does something. I bet at least one of the scoops uses the Orleans gym.
And they wake up all the people sleeping around the outside of the...
Out of all the places to run around early in the morning.
You want to be around McManus at 9 a.m.
I don't know, but I've been told the ice cream cones are really cold.
Yeah, if you have to move the prostitutes and crack addicts out of the alley at 8 a.m., that's a bad morning.
Now, did they put you under, Paul?
They did.
And did they do anything fun? Did they play any games with you?
Oh,
they played the game of put some stuff in my spine that completely takes my legs out.
you got like an epidural.
I got an epidural. Oh. So they had
And you were awake for that?
No, I was awake for that. Yeah, because
they're
like, we need you up for this so you can tell me exactly what I'm doing here. So as he's putting the needles into my spine, he's like, left, right, up, down. And I'm like, yeah, needs to go a little to the right, a little to the right.
What?
Wait.
What's going up and down?
And how did you know it? And what?
I could feel the needle in the spine. He wanted to make sure it was really centered. And I was like, it needs to be a little bit to the right. And then, so that was good times.
I've witnessed two epidurals in my life, and I don't remember that communication happening.
I don't recall ever having to seek
communication
about that.
And I've heard people complain about that the wood favor aside.
Oh,
which is interesting. Also,
well, this is why the guy was
so
on top of his
figured
business,
it out.
Right? And he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So and killed it. Like, I was gone. So after that, I laid back down.
Was that weird to lose the feeling in your lower half?
Sure. I laid back down and then I was just gone. I don't remember anything until I woke up post-op. And then when I did wake up post-op, I couldn't feel my lower legs. And I guess they started to come a lot, not pins and needles-y, but numb. But I could tell they were still there at least. But yeah, they were gone. But then they slowly came around. But that was the most challenging thing, which is getting me to be able to stand up again when all my nerves were done. So I was all wiggly for a
while. Is this the
while.
First time that you've been fully under for a surgery?
Aside from my tonsils when I was very young.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the conspiracy theory?
Yes.
Where the general anesthesia doesn't knock you out. It just makes you forget everything that happened.
It's possible. I mean, even anesthesiologists don't know exactly how anesthetics work, right?
That I've been told that, yeah.
Now that's the whole thing. Like, they know they give this much and everything turns out sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. So, and I know there are some people who, quote unquote, wake up during surgery.
Right.
They're not feeling anything, but they can sense what's going on. They can sense the tugging and the motion and everything.
The one time that I went under, that happened to me.
You could feel stuff?
They were like, oh, you were up for a bit, and I had kind of vague memories. I think I was barely awake or whatever, but like, ooh. I had kind of vague memories of things, of feeling things.
Yeah, when I was
not like discomfort or anything.
No, when I was when I was ragged by a priest as an altar boy, I remember experiencing some some of those things.
You remember the tugging?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the pushing.
The tugging and the pushing.
Yeah. And the nudity.
Yeah. So I mean, who the hell knows?
And you'll never guess what they do with those candlesticks.
Don't know how it works.
You'll guess.
I was neither nimble nor quick.
But I'm super grateful that it all did go well as can be expected. And yeah, road to recovery. I got physical therapy people coming to the house to check on me. It's going good so far. And I got to just keep that up.
And make sure you get their IDs every time, because there's a scam artist out there that will just come in and just
try
to...
Oh, boy, yeah. They tried to take my Hummels.
Not my figurines!
No! Figurines, my precious figures.
Thinking more, I thought I was getting physical therapy, and now I've been robbed.
Oh, no!
How are you sleeping?
Pretty good. I can sleep on my other side easy. I can sleep on both sides, actually. Okay, I'm a side sleeper. So it's not too bad. Still having to use my upper body to rotate myself most of the time because those muscles just aren't there. But I was having to do that before because I couldn't move because of the pain. So it's less painful in a lot of ways. It's just different pain. Again, just got to work these muscles and keep stretching, and hopefully it'll get better and better as it goes.
Now, did they feed you while you were in the hospital?
They did.
Go ahead, break it down.
A sandwich on a roll. A cup
ham and cheese?
It was like a ham and cheese sandwich, like roast beef and cheese sandwich, I think.
I know my hospitals.
Yeah, they love a good ham and cheese.
I had... a cup of, applesauce?
You're really blanking on applesauce, aren't
you? Yeah, I couldn't.
You sure you're doing all right? You sure you're recovering?
I mean, it's been a week. Cup of applesauce and some kind of drink.
Some kind of drink.
Oh, and some potato chips.
I had some purple drink.
I was still pretty out of it at that point.
Pudding cup?
No pudding cup.
No, thank you.
All right. Well, I'm very happy that you are recovered.
Me too.
Did Ann have to like carry you or anything like to the car? How did that work?
No.
Fireman's carry.
Slid my butt in there and went and go. We've already been dealing with the car stuff for, you know, years now. I'm a mess getting into the car.
When you came back,
yes,
were you instantly in less or more pain than you were before you went under?
Well, I mean, less pain because I couldn't feel my legs, but
fair. Right. Okay, right. Once you could feel everything,
I could feel everything, once I stood up and could stand and was walking around, it was pretty amazing. Even though
you're instantly just right back up, right?
Yeah, they get you. Well, that's the thing. It was outpatient surgery. I did not get checked in. I was not there for a day. You know, I was there for 7 hours?
Outpatient surgery for a hip replacement.
That's nuts.
That's amazing.
Isn't that wild how far they've come? And the lady who ran our pre-op class, she'd been a nurse for 40 years, and she was just... She was great, but she was just marveling.
One foot out the door.
She was marveling at just how far it's all come. Like, you're going to be in and out of the day, and the technology and the stuff you're getting put in you and all that kind of stuff, so much better and so much easier.
Oh, wow.
It's wild.
I mean, the technology I deal with, the distance that it's come in 40 years is amazing, and people don't care about that technology.
Right.
People care about this medical technology. They're working on that.
Well, I just think about it just like the cars, the few times I've been able to get a new car, mm-hmm. and I've gone for, you know, my cars, I drive them into the ground. One I had for 16 years, the other for like 10.
Well, there's the problem. You should drive them on the road.
Yeah,
well,
on top, much easier on top.
Yeah. And you don't go through them nearly as fast.
You guys and your listening to recommended usage shit gets me.
We're just corporate shills.
I think you guys have probably experienced that too, right? You go a long time with a beater and then you get something a little bit fresh off the market and you're like, holy shit, this is like being a astronaut's capsule all of a sudden, right?
These,
like,
windows roll down.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is the car I have now is the first one I've ever had with auto windows.
All right. I think I'm reading between the lines here. We'll get to it. Paul, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you regret getting hip surgery?
much would you rather just get a new car?
So grateful. So grateful to have it done. And huge shout out to the community. The Scoops were all so super supportive and kind.
It was
lovely.
So sweet.
Everybody reached out.
I saw
out
somebody
to say,
ask,
hey.
But I didn't see an answer.
Yeah.
Did you get to keep the old hip?
No. I don't think they do let you keep old bone.
I mean, it's bio waste.
Bio waste material, I believe, is the rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because otherwise, I would have
that is mine. I brought it from home.
To take your old hip and go and gone to that first doctor who was a fucking dickhead to you and just like drop your old hip on his desk.
Yeah.
That's what I wish you could do.
I still want to do that. I'm going to drop my hip on his head. I'm going to do a fucking Randy Savage flying elbow on his ass. Yeah. Yeah. What a pain in the dick. And that's the only thing that is frustrating, that I went all these years, going through physical therapy and stuff, and that physical therapy probably did more harm than good.
Made it worse.
Yeah.
Just created more friction.
Because that was what
more.
I would tell them at the physical therapy place. I'd be like, you know, after I do these exercises, a lot of times it just hurts more.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like,
yeah, that's right. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, you know, we got to try. But that's just it. Like, you have to jump through all those hoops.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Those hoops aren't there for everybody of every economic strata. And had I the money and resources and wherewithal, like if they'd simply x-rayed the hip early,
they
would have gone, oh, that is a degenerative condition caused by genetic factors, and we can't give pills for that.
Yeah.
You know.
There's not an amount of ibuprofen that helps that.
Right. So that's frustrating, but that is just I'm a lucky guy to even have the ability to get the procedure done. You know, I've got insurance.
Right.
I've got the chance to do it. So as frustrated as I am with the American healthcare system, I can only imagine what it is for most ordinary people. It is awful. But thankfully I found a surgeon who was willing to help me out. And I still had to jump hoops. I had to, with that incredibly painful leg, I had to force myself to go to work for as long as I could stand it. And really cut back on my caloric intake, even though I couldn't move much. So I had to really drop what I was eating, you know.
Because you're not going to burn it any other way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I had to lose some pounds just to get considered to. And it's like, it's just absolute catch 22. Since November, I wasn't really able to move. I couldn't walk. Yeah. It was awful.
Like a surgeon.
Yeah. So shout out to Dr. Chen. He did a great job.
Let's have him on. Let's bring him in.
Yeah. Come on in, Doc.
I'm sure he's got nothing better to do.
Yeah, it's weird. He said that he was very, very, his schedule was wide open. You were the only thing on his docket.
Oh, that's nice.
I'll tell you who else was on Paul's doctor's docket.
Yeah.
All over that docket. And that is the following sponsor.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Dock it like it's hot.
Yeah.
Today's show, Matt and Manley's Ice Cream Social, the program you're listening to right now, is brought to you by the fine people of Work, damn it. Work, phone.
Oh, no.
Dr. Vlarg's patented man-lady hair tonic. What?
Ooh.
That's from the microscope. Dr. Vlarg's patented man-lady hair tonic.
Hey, I'm Dr. Vlarg. Oh, I want some really lovely locks. So go ahead and get yourself some of my patented man-lady hair tonic. Go ahead and just slather it all over your body and your head. And oh, boy, will your hair look great. Luscious locks. Long, luscious locks. Delicious, luscious locks. You can eat them. You can eat your delicious hair.
I prefer just to let it grow, yeah? I don't have to. Do I have to eat? Do I have to eat
my hair? Have to eat it, but you're going to want to eat it. It's so delicious and luscious looking.
Wait, so like it grows, but it like is it like sweeter than regular human hair?
It's the sweetest hair.
Okay, great. What makes it so sweet?
The sugar in my sauce.
So you have like a sugared hair sauce?
Yeah, it's a sugary hair sauce. The sugary tonic. The granules get into your follicles.
Is it like a applicable tonic or do I drink it?
You could drink it, but you want to put it, it's topical. Yeah. It's a topical solution. It basically turns your hair into nerd's rope.
Oh, like that mascot for AMPM.
Right. Hey! Oh, I'm not only a member, I'm a client.
Hit her Hay Scoops at checkout. I hate that mascot. That's a terrible mascot.
Yeah. Well, I have returned from Paris, France.
Ba, you ba, look ba, cultured.
I'm very cultured.
Ooh la la.
Particularly in my eyeballs and nose where I need medication coming home from the flight. But that's okay. I was in France for 7 days. So just ask me. I've learned everything you need to know about France.
Oh, what's the best thing in France?
It's the culture, Jacob.
The culture. Yeah. And what is the culture?
Yeah, there's a certain laissez-faire.
Should have said,
laissez-faire, you say?
What everyone wants
Egalitaire,
to know. Did you wear your Lecoq Sportif while in Paris?
I didn't, only because that would just blend in.
Oh.
I would get no attention for it whatsoever.
You wanted to make sure people knew you were a rude American?
Yeah, I want to make sure that, well, there's no mistake, as always, there's no mistaking that I am an American. That's like, so they've, you know, people at the metro stops, metro is French for subway.
Oh, and, you are cultured.
When they come up to you, their clipboards, they go right up to you and go like, American, yes? And they want you to sign something, which I was like, what on earth? And I kept saying no. And my kids kept being like, what do they want you to sign? I was like, I don't know, but what could it possibly be?
Right.
Like, it's not going to be like, if I sign this, they're going to hand me a bunch of money. That's not it, right?
And well, you like, hope not.
And I was like, what the hell am I supposed to sign that's supposed to have any impact as someone who's leaving here in 6 days?
Where exactly were anything. You?
It's just like a little bit of universal health care.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you get 10 minutes of a doctor visit.
Yeah.
10 free minutes.
We stayed, so all of the different areas of Paris are broken up into called arrondissements.
Ooh. Gesundheit.
Bless you, yeah.
And I kept saying Arrondi's nuts, and no one laughed.
Good.
Oh. Except for the one guy with the clipboard.
Yeah.
But, so we stayed in Arrondissement 10.
Okay.
Which is
now,
near...
Now, when you say we, is that the collective, or are you still no, speaking
I'm just,
French?
I'm just saying yes. Okay. I'm just saying yes. No, my wife and my two children,
mm-hmm.
We stayed at an Airbnb in arrondissement 10, which is near Republic Square, which is, I guess, is like where apparently Johnny Depp, when he fell in love with Paris and stayed there.
Ah.
Because all these cafes, my sister let me know. My sister lives in Paris.
Yes.
In arrondissement 12. She let me know that this is where we were staying, is like where all the hipsters go and hang out at night and stuff. And it's true. You walk around these streets.
Was she saying that as a good thing or as a negative thing?
She's saying it for us as a good thing because basically, like every hour of the night, you literally just walk around and boom, just pop into a cafe or whatever. And then our place was right above a bakery, a famous bakery. So we woke up to the fresh smell of croissants and everything being made in the morning.
I feel like that is great for a vacation and bad if you live there.
100%. And it was really popular. There's always like a line around there or whatever. But by the end, we went there every morning. So by the end, they knew us. They were so sweet to my children and everything. But yes, indeed, croissants.
Croissant!
And pain au chocolat.
Ooh!
Mm. And their coffee was just okay, but we found a place three doors down that made a really good flat white.
Okay.
But the food was great. It is a crazy place, and it's funny, wherever you go there, all the attractions are like, see this? This has been here for a while.
Yeah.
That's why you should be here, is because it's been around. Everything is older than your country.
Yeah.
Over here.
This door that you just walked through is older than the United States of America.
So when you go to like there's that Shakespeare bookshop we went to there or whatever, like which right on the corner from the Notre Dame, which was still shut down because of someone set it on fire.
Right.
And,
it was like a construction accident or something?
It was a construction
accident. Yeah, they were working on it. Yeah.
Is that the
that guy?
The something
that
Lights or whatever?
No one buys him a beer.
No.
Bookstore?
What's that?
The Something Lights bookstore?
It was the Shakespeare and Company bookstore or something like that.
Cool.
But like, you know, Tolstoy and, you know, all these famous authors and stuff went there. And that's the thing. Like from Tolstoy to Picasso to Johnny Depp, like basically like anyone who's visited Paris goes, I kind of like it here.
Yeah.
And they just hang out here. And that's what it's famous for. It's famous for other people having hung out there too. Centuries ago.
Sacre bleu.
Yeah. But it is, are you guys familiar with a bicycle?
Oh, I've heard of it. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you guys don't know what the bicycle has done. It's done nothing here compared to what it does in France. See, there's car lanes for cars.
Yes.
But bikes can go in there, no problem.
Okay.
There are bike lanes, which are just for bikes. And if you step in there, they yell at you.
Yeah.
And they do bling bling. They bling bling and yell at you.
I bet they yell at you in French, too.
They do, which is hysterical. It really is so unintimidating. It really is. When they yell at you, they're like, and you're like, oh, that's adorable.
That sounds lovely.
Like, Americans, we have our syllables down. Like, we are a no-nonsense language.
Yeah.
Hey, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, that means, that feels aggressive. I should get out of the way. But when you're rolling your R's and you're curling your tongue and you're saying longer words, it's very hard to feel like I should urgently move out of your way.
You're wearing a beret and a black and white striped shirt while smoking a cigarette at a holder.
Yeah, whatever you want, buddy. No problem.
Yeah.
No problem.
I would also like a baguette.
And then bikes, that's the bikes part. And then there's sidewalks and like little parks that you can walk through.
Yeah.
And the bikes can go there too. So everything I've brought up, the bikes can use.
Oh.
So even if you're skateboarding, a bike can just go through there. We're right by this giant square where this giant like open cement park.
Uh-huh.
And at night, it's like playing a bad video game. They're just zooming at you left and right. They're just bikes just rule. If you're playing chess, I think the bike can just roll through that as well. And And you know, Americans we clearly lean towards binary, right?
Yeah.
And in fact, we have a certain sect of our population to protest to make sure things are binary.
Yes.
Yeah.
But adding bikes to your sensory of what you need to be looking out for at all the times is bizarre. It is hard to adjust to because you're constantly looking out for cars. Because I'm looking out for my kids crossing too, right? So we're walking around and you're constantly going like...
Not your wife. She's
so
on her own.
For the first few days, we were like, oh, good. We're clear to cross. And then it was like, bling, bling, bling. Get the fuck out of the way, you know, in French.
Right.
I am walking here.
It's like we just could not program our brains to be on the lookout for bikes coming from every direction. It took days to adjust to that.
Huh.
It was really funny.
Are you still like nervous about bicycles?
Yeah. Like I hear bling bling and I wake up in my sleep.
Right. No. get out of your car like, oh no, yeah, bicycle. Yeah, oh no, it's fine. There's a shadow.
Just crossing to go to the Starbucks. I was like, bike to anyone coming out of Starbucks.
Yeah.
But no, it is a cuckoo. It's a weird place. There's not a grid to it. Like, that's what it so fascinating. I think it makes it so enticing. You really are just constantly feel like you're drifting everywhere.
You can
cobblestone, you're wandering, you're following on your maps and stuff. I mean, let me tell you something. As a modern traveler, ChatGPT, Google Translate, lifesavers. I mean,
it's changed everything.
Totally stress-free. Like, most of the time we just went up to a cafe and just took photos of the menu that were on display, put it to Google Translate to figure out where we're going to eat and stuff like that. I guess my sister was saying that whatever the snottiness of French people that they've ever reputation for, we only ran into it at a few places. The guards of the Louvre were pretty annoyed at Americans.
I believe that.
Also, I was around other Americans. I'd be annoyed at them too. Like a lot, like the thing I kept seeing other Americans do, which annoyed the fucking shit out of me, was like trying to like let the French person know that they've been won over by something. Like, you know, like, oh, I wasn't sure if I was going to like, but look at this. This is so delicious the way you've made the salmon.
Yes, pig. We make the greatest food on the goddamn planet. Yeah, we are aware of our culinary superiority. Pig face fuck. Yes. Thank you for reveling in our incredible cuisine that is unrivaled on the goddamn globe. Huzzah to you, fat fuck pig bastard.
Oh, the language is just so beautiful.
Like, and honestly, even just walking the streets, like, many Americans were taking phone calls and speaking very loudly as they walked, right?
I did not see
that happen with French people. I did not see any of them taking phone calls and just obnoxiously talking very loudly as they walked down the street.
Yeah, Bye! Yeah. No, never mind! Sell,
I'm looking
sell.
At the Eiffel Tower!
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I would understand a little bit. I was not happy with how my country people were representing us. We ran into them.
Yeah.
My sister was saying that basically, like, you know, the pandemic really fucking woke people up to how much tourism.
Oh, they had that over there too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A smaller dose.
Okay.
But so apparently they're much more kind to tourists now that the money's back and people are coming back. So I found that as long as you looked trying to be both charming and pathetic and said bonjour right away. If you did those three things right off the bat, everyone was very nice.
How do you drop the bonjour?
Bonjour.
Is it something? Bonjour.
Like I said, bonjour. And it, I would take out a pitch pipe. Bonjour. And they would join me, and we'd say it together. Bonjour. Bonjour. And then we could talk after that.
Yeah.
Bonjour.
I found if you just like both like smiling, but also low status.
Yeah.
Bonjour. And then you waited. I waited a second because they'd be like, most of the time they'd be like, American? I'm like, yep. But other times they'd wait a second, I'd say, parlez-vous l'anglais? And they would say, oui, and peu, and then we would do whatever. But I found that it was really fine and easy to figure out all that stuff. It was very easy to navigate the city. I also found it to be not expensive.
Well, Vegas.
That's right. This is what I'm saying. So I went to New York.
Anytime we go anywhere, we're like, oh, it's so cheap here.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Wow.
Excuse me.
Gracious.
Cookie Monster wants to talk about France. No, anytime we leave, we talk about this all the time. Anytime you leave Vegas, you go somewhere and people are like, oh, this place is a little pricey, but you know, it'll be all right.
I was surprised. Like, New York, we went to New York on the way out.
Yeah.
And for us, we went to a lot of spots that we liked already because we used to live there. And we want to take our kids there. But I found the prices didn't go up that much since I left in 2008.
Okay.
And then in France, I found the prices to be very reasonable. And then on top of that, not tipping for a week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it is so nice. I don't get it.
And they have the thing where everything, like whatever the price labeled on the thing, that's what you pay, right?
Yeah, that's it.
It's not like you're figuring out tax.
You never figure out tax. You're not figuring out tip. And I realized the non-tipping thing is the key to the whole thing that makes it feel kind of flowy and casual and dreamlike because the waiters don't give a shit whether you're ordering food or not.
Right.
So you walk around all these cafes, you just fucking, they sit you down as fast as possible. So you say you want to sit down, they go sit. They go sit, no problem. They give you a few minutes. They want you to have everything.
Yeah.
Everything done in the first time. They're going to touch your table twice and that's it.
Okay.
And then you're going to have to flag them down to pay to leave. That's the way it felt. The whole time I was there, but it was like, that's what makes it. So when you walk around these crazy, beautiful streets, then all of a sudden, boom, you're like, oh, I like this place. You just sit down, order everything that you're going to order at once. It just comes out and you pay and you go. And if you're just ordering drinks, they don't give a shit. You just order drinks, you have your drinks.
Because they're making the same money no matter what. They're making
the same money no matter what. So it makes it so fucking easy.
Did you try tipping anyone?
No, the only time I felt really odd about it was our very first cab ride out there. We came out, we got cabs, and it was so funny. We were a family of four with a bunch of luggage.
Oh, yeah.
And so the first four cab drivers just told the person at the airport no. Just they would not take us. So finally some guy did take us, and so I was like, should I tip him? So I paid him in the money I just exchanged.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me the change
Franks,
back.
Right?
Yeah. Yep. Or they did euros.
Oh, of course they're euros now, right.
And I was like, do I? I basically like looked at him and like waited for like a dirty look or whatever. Eh? And he literally was like, au revoir. And I was like, okay. And after that, I paid. There's no option to tip. There's gotcha. No place to put it in. And so we were basically putting it mostly on everything on cards while we were there anyway. Sure. But there was never an option to tip. In fact, the only time we took an Uber instead of a cab back to the airport. And there, the most I could tip was $5 or €5.
Oh.
Was the option on the thing. They wouldn't let me tip.
It was zero or five.
Yeah, it was one, three, or five.
Oh.
But that was it.
Huh.
And no one seemed to ever expect a tip or anything, and it was so nice.
Yeah.
To not think about it the whole time.
Sure.
It was a nice break or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, did went to you, Louvre,
experience
Eiffel Tower,
any of Lark the Triumph. Did you experience any of the farmer blockades while you were there?
No, there was one. So in that Republic Square,
mm-hmm.
which is the big, you'll see the big famous statue that says Egalitaire on it, is where they tend to gather. My sister was like, oh yeah, there's protests there for something like every day.
Yeah.
And the first few days it was raining, so there wasn't. But then, sure enough, the fourth day we went, there was a giant protest there. And apparently that was about paying for sports and not schools was the protest of that day.
Oh, I wouldn't know anything about that in Vegas.
No.
Nope.
Nope, nope, nope.
Nope. Let's give the A's another $1 million.
Let's go. Let's get them in here. What we want is A's baseball.
Yep.
But
we could work on the school system a lot for $1 million.
Yeah, nope. Yeah, yeah. But so there was no. I didn't run anything with the farmer protest there. And then yeah, it was super nice. It was super fun. It was really fun to navigate a city for the first time with my children.
Yeah,
like we weren't like at first. They kept asking us questions because in New York we knew a lot of the answers.
Then when parents would get there, right.
We don't know.
Finding it all together.
We're finding it all together. So it was like to really actually do it, to navigate all of these day trips.
What was their favorite thing?
My youngest kid really liked the Louvre, really liked the museum.
Oh, okay.
And it's funny because like
I say all the time, your youngest, he's the cultured one.
He was really fascinated by the Mona Lisa.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How small it was?
And they do. Well, that's, we you know. Basically, like if you talk to anyone, they'll be like, don't get sucked into just going to the Mona Lisa.
Right.
It's, you know, whatever. I was curious because they had just thrown soup at it. Do you know about this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they just had an environmental protest where people threw soup at the Mona Lisa.
Right.
So we went there.
I'm still unclear as to what they were protesting with the soup.
They do the thing where they raise awareness.
Yeah.
They do something stupid and you like go,
they threw a thing of soup at it and then they took off their jackets or whatever. They had something written on their shirt.
We had a really weird thing here where people were trying to glue themselves to basketball courts and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Particularly up in Minnesota. The owner was a particularly...
you mean here, you mean in the U.S.,
the U.S.
not in the churn.
No, correct.
Yeah.
In the United States, I guess the owner of the Timberwolves had done some egregious environmental thing, and so they were trying to glue themselves and chain themselves to different parts of the basketball court last year.
Which, I mean, like, chain yourself all day long, gluing yourself to something...
That's a weird one.
That is dedication.
That was a weird one.
Because, like,
for sure.
I'm not gluing myself to shit.
The guy, he went down on the ground and he started gluing his hands. He tried to use crazy glue and glue his hands to the basketball court.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm good, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm good. That's like, sit in, chain yourself to something, do all those things.
Yeah.
Glue?
Yeah. No.
I mean, like, you'll fuck up the court, I guess, with the glue, but you could also just throw glue on the court.
And also, like, you know, it didn't work. Had it worked, like, what's your vision there? Like,
what's
you just
step two?
Make sure just... People just constantly just pulling your legs, and you're like, ah, ha, ha. Like
I'm glued
with the like the Spider-Man down there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like, ow, ow, ow.
How long
don't pull
will that
hard.
Last? How long will that go on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so I didn't run into too many protests there. But it was really cool. The subway station had like a wing, had a thing where you
Metro
had a thing where you your French is amazing.
Thank you.
The one we were at had like a touchscreen. So okay. You literally just put in your where you wanted to go, and it gave you a transportation breakdown.
Oh, great.
It was so easy to use.
That's just sensible.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was like, I don't know what it was like to go to France 10 years ago, but it's fucking
great. Checking
your
bags while you were there?
I once got checked because we walked towards some building that apparently was an official government building, and I was on the wrong side of the sidewalk and didn't realize it. I literally was like, trying to walk past cops, and they grabbed me, and I was like, what the fuck? And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm by a government building, and I should just go across the street.
I'm just in the wrong place.
But there was this funny thing where we bought week passes for the Metro.
Okay.
You know, unlimited.
Yeah.
Right.
And they said,
get your picture taken and put it on here. There's like a sticker area. Put it on there and get it signed and sign it. And I literally was like, what? And they're like, you picture or whatever. And sure enough, there's like these photo booths by the subway stations.
Oh.
Where you can take like passport style photos or take goofy ones.
Okay.
Your choice. But they don't want the goofy ones on the subway map. Sure. They want the whatever ones.
Yeah.
So we're
the French are serious people.
We're paying €8 for these passport photos. And then I was dumb because afterward I was like, wait, I should text my sister. And I was like, Jules, do I need to get a photo taken or whatever? She goes, they never check. They do it because they don't want people passing off their platform. So they want to be able to check the face for people stealing or sharing.
Yeah.
The thing, but no one ever checks. So we never added the photos, but I have these terrible photos of my whole family.
Good.
As a souvenir.
That's you'll souvenir is French forever. For something to remember. Forever.
But then we went to my sister's for dinner and it was super late. This is like one of our last nights in town.
Uh-huh.
And then we're transferring subways and we're coming up the stairs and boom, there are four cops.
Oh.
And they go, can we see your passes? I said, yes. And they were like, where's your picture? You need to have your picture on here. I was like, they did check.
Oh, no.
I just was like, I'm an American. I'm a dumb American. I don't know.
How do you say dumb American in French? Like, they're like, dumb American.
You need to get your picture. I was like, you know, you should see them. They're terrible.
Yeah.
My kids did not pose well for these photos. Do you want them? I did actually end up getting spot checked late at night. So you will get spot checked late at night, but not during the day.
Yeah.
There's too much traffic. They won't be people.
They're not bothering with it during the day.
No.
That's I'm very glad that you took the pictures. I'm glad that Jules told you not to worry about attaching them to the picture or to the thing, and that I'm very glad that you got stopped and hassled about it anyway.
I did.
I'm happy with every part of that scenario.
I did. And then with her boyfriend, we piled into a bar one night, and I got to watch a rugby match in a sports pub. That was really cool. It was a really great match. If any
and the people in the bar cared about the match.
Oh, it was England versus France.
Oh, great.
Geez, big time. Can't beat that.
It was a big time. Yeah. It was a real big time match. And it went back and forth. The lead changed like four times. It was a last second win for France. It was awesome.
I don't know if that's common for rugby or not.
Who cares? It was so fun. I don't know.
I'll tell you who else cares about rugby.
Yeah.
And that is the following sponsor.
Get a bike, rule the world, guys. Today's show is brought to you by suckmynoseoff.com from Magic Shell Scoop. Suckmynoseoff.com.
Suck my nose off! Suck my nose off! SuckMyNoseOff.com!
Enter Hey Scoops at checkout.
Oh, but one of the funniest things. So, at one point, my youngest was like, "I need to find a bathroom."
Yeah,
and I said, "Well, just go up to our server and say toilet, and they'll point you to where the toilet
is. Not loo."
Well, this is it. So at first when I saw it, I was like, I first tried to pronounce it, I was like, toilet, and they looked at me and I was like, toilet? They're like, toilet.
Yeah, I guess when there's like, at the end, you don't pronounce it if it comes after a consonant.
Yeah.
And it also is weird because when you are looking for the bathroom, like it's like you're living in a simulation where all these people you used to walk around where people don't speak the language.
Right.
But suddenly when they see that you're looking for a bathroom, they know how to say where the bathroom is. So you're watching like French people talk like blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden they turn to you and it goes basically go back upstairs to the left. And then you go, what? And it's like weird. It's like an out of body experience that they come out that can suddenly just speak the exact directions you need.
Right.
And then they go back to speaking French, and it looks like you're in a fucking, like, weird movie. Like, it's not. It's like a weird horror movie moment thing. But I said to my son, I said, go up to the server and just say toilet.
Yeah.
And he goes, no. I will not say that word to another person.
I have not said that word to another person before, and I'm not going to start now.
And he really wouldn't. So when he asked to go to the bathroom, I would be like, fine, then go find it. And sure enough, he just gained a confidence then to just get up wherever he was and walk around every restaurant we were in,
great,
wherever he needed to go, until he found it on his own. Or some video game weird transformation thing happened and someone gave him directions.
But, yeah.
That was a funny moment.
He's like, I will not.
And then the flight home, we had to connect through Amsterdam to come home. So basically, like, there we broke up the flight. We went to New York on the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And then those two flights are easy. Technically, France to Amsterdam is almost like a little step backwards from where you're going to go.
Right.
So it ended up being a 9.5 hour flight home.
Yikes.
With my two children. And by the end, my youngest was like loosening. Like, we're like 1.5 hours out. And he goes, I don't want to watch another movie. I don't want to play a game.
Oh,
I just want to be home.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, me like, too, man.
I get it, buddy.
These suck. This yeah. sucks. But breaking it up on the way home would have been a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like unpacking our bags one more time to spend one night somewhere else. It was no way.
Yeah.
So it was still worth it, I think, to push all the way through. But that was... That
How was customs and everything getting back in?
Totally easy.
Easy? Great.
Totally easy. I'm so used to like traveling with magic props and then trying to lie and say I'm not working. That to actually go through with just family, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I really have nothing to declare.
Yeah.
Really has nothing going on. And with families, they just push you right through.
Yeah.
They don't really care. So, yeah, that was pretty easy.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this was your first time visiting your sister in France, right?
Yes, my first time in Paris. She moved there in 2007.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how good of a brother I am.
Yep. I wasn't going to comment on that. I was going to silently think it.
How acclimated has she become? Is she full native at this point?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, she still is. I think
she's still just walking around going, toilet?
She still, I think, is that, like, she basically is used to schooling people as she is from there. Because I think she still has certain Americanisms to her.
Sure.
And she still has a lot of American pride and a lot of stuff. So she defines herself by having, like, she still hosts her own Thanksgiving out there and that kind of stuff. She likes to do American-themed parties, that kind of stuff.
Celebrates Columbus Day.
So she's used to schooling people. They try to correct her.
Does all the terrible American stuff.
Yeah. Eats a lot of hamburgers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like, she announces all of them that she's not celebrating Juneteenth.
Right.
And they don't know what she's talking about.
Then she gets in her truck and drives home.
Yeah, yeah. She's used to just like French people, someone's trying to correct her because she's American, and then she quickly schools them as someone who's lived in Paris and knows where everything is at and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But no, it was great. Yeah, she kicks ass out there. She works as a good internet marketing job.
You said your son liked the Louvre.
Yeah.
Other than the Mona Lisa, or what about the Mona Lisa? We never really tackled that.
A really good job. So when you go there, there's actually like a staff of like now six people surrounding it, ready to like take out anyone who wants to do anything to the Mona Lisa.
They're all holding spoons just in case somebody shows up with soup.
Yeah, they're ready. Just long straws.
Yeah.
Just foiled again.
I suck your soup out of the air.
We sucked the soup. They sucked everyone's soup.
Good, good.
But it's basically
in America,
like,
you have to pay extra for that.
Mm-hmm. It is. They do a good display of, you know, there's a good educational display to the side of it. My kids are really fascinated by. And I also didn't realize that the Mona Lisa is not a finished painting.
Oh.
It's unfinished.
I didn't know that.
It was bought by some rich guy who was around, not DiCaprio. Who painted it? Da Vinci.
Da Vinci. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Da Vinci. Mona Lisa's too old for DiCaprio.
Yeah.
But he was unfinished in his shop and the person bought it on site and just wanted it and bought it. And so that's why it's not, so that you can see in the background, they see because he's probably planned more for the background of the painting.
Ah, I see.
And I guess it's famous because, you know, her figure is facing 3/4 of a way, but then she's facing forward. So it's basically why people find it maybe the most, like why it's probably the most famous painting,
right?
Is basically it's like you're catching a moment, even though it's a still painting. It's like you're catching a glance as you walk in. It's like you got her attention when you walk in the room.
Is that the most famous painting? I mean, it's got to be. I mean, that.
It's fuck up there. You, Jacob. Name another one. Name another painting.
No,
go.
I'm trying.
Bergman,
to...
Go.
Sistine Chapel ceiling.
Dolly's Reflections of Swans.
Oh, yep.
No,
there you go.
Wrong and wrong. Okay, good. Paul.
More famous painting. Matisse's The Lovers or The Kiss.
Okay. Maybe that one.
Venus on a Half Shell.
Turtle Power.
Yep.
No, I mean, you know, whatever.
For
whatever.
I wasn't being a smartass about it, but like, it really has to be up there, I guess. Like, yeah. It's got to be, if it's not the most famous painting, it's in the conversation.
Well, it's one that, like, in terms of ubiquity,
right?
Like, you can just put it in anything, and every person of any age knows that you're making a joke about the Mona Lisa.
Right.
I think that's probably one of the things that, like, you've seen it parodied probably a thousand times.
Did they make mention of the fact that they think it might be a self-portrait?
They didn't in the museum. I was aware of that on my own, and talked to my kids about that a little bit. But basically, it was super fun for us, and this is where comedy is a currency in our household.
Uh-huh.
If I saw my kids getting bored anywhere, I pointed to something and said, make me a comic of that. And then we all four of us took turns making jokes about something.
Nice. There.
So there's a sculpture of a boy choking a duck or whatever. We just made a quick comic about
a lot of those sculptures.
Yeah. So I think my kid liked the Louvre because I think we were joking around the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure.
But he was talking mostly about the Mona Lisa. The Venus de Milo was something I wasn't that fascinated with until I saw it.
So many of those paintings,
it's a sculpture.
The great.
It's a sculpture.
It's a sculpture.
Well, yes, but what I'm talking about are paintings.
Name a more famous sculpture. Go.
Yeah.
Venus de Milo famously could not paint. No arms.
Yep, that's right. But yeah, all like the great paintings from the masters and everything.
Yeah,
and I find this to be less so with sculptures, is what I was getting at. But I think that just might be my aesthetic.
Yeah,
it is amazing when you get up to one of the I remember the first time I saw a Rembrandt.
Yeah,
and I forget what the painting was. I think it may have been, there's a Rembrandt, it's something like Leonardo contemplating on the bust of Socrates or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, it was the first Rembrandt painting I'd ever seen. And I remember just kind of sitting down on a bench and looking at this painting. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
The skill, the craftsmanship that went into it, all of these things, it is incomprehensible to me. The sculpture, I think, is, my brain wraps around sculpture a little bit easier.
I ended up being more captivated by sculptures at the
Interesting.
Louvre. And I was surprised at that too.
Yeah.
There are so many amazing paintings. So much of it religious influence, which is maybe why I'm a little like tepid to it. But obviously great works of art that are, you know, renowned. I really was taken in. I really wanted to see Michelangelo's. They had two of his the slave and the captive.
Okay.
Do you know about these?
I do. Yep.
So it's like where the figures aren't fully carved out of it. They're still basically attached to the sculpture stone that they're in. And that gives it this illusion of it being captive or slave to the thing. And my buddy, Steve Shaheen, who is a sculptor, when he was asked for Monmouth County, he got commissioned to make a 9/11 memorial. He made two towers of
cheese. Yeah. Made it out of cheese.
What do you sculpt out of? What's
marble?
Famous stone? Marble.
Granite.
Okay.
So he had two towers of marble where he carved figures out of them and did the same reference to the slavers, two figures captured in the thing.
Okay.
It was a really beautiful, really kind of breathtaking tribute. And so to go see his inspiration in person and to see those two sculptures was probably the huge highlight for me. But the Venus de Milo one struck me because all these sculptures from these greats are there. I didn't realize how old the Venus de Milo was.
Ah.
The Venus de Milo was carved like 1,400 years before these other sculptures. And it's just a beautiful sculpture.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's just like, it's really articulate and the angles and everything are just, it's just this amazing sculpture. And they're not even sure who did it. It was kind of discovered.
Is it too late to take credit?
I don't think so.
I did it.
Louvre, if you're listening.
I want my name on that shit.
By Jacob Smith.
They have like a lot of old Greek sculpture used to be painted and stuff.
Yes.
And like had their eyes were made of like special glass and all that kind of thing. So they had a very different look from what we're used to seeing.
Yeah. I mean, even when you go to certain collections, they're like, oh yeah, these were on the side of a mountain for the last, you know.
Right.
They were on the side of a mountain for like 500 years, and then they finally moved to the Louvre in this year. And you're kind of like, that's crazy that this thing was just outside.
Yeah, yeah.
Just out and about.
Just doing its thing.
People to walk by. And yeah, it's just amazing. So that's the thing. I was really captured by the kind of like historical and storied behind all these sculptures more than some of the paintings. But it was
Did they do any kind of restoration on any of the or like mock-ups of what the sculptures may have looked like or anything like that?
No, I mean, I know they put a great deal of care into keeping them modern or whatever, like cleaned up or whatever. But
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know other than that.
And they like to keep something between the painting and the soup. I know that.
Yeah, they really are. I can't. It's to say anti-soup feels strong.
Yeah, but they're kind of anti-soup.
They're kind of anti-soup.
Yeah.
They're kind of anti-soup. But also what's weird.
But they love a bisque.
They give you a map with certain stuff laid out or whatever. But sometimes you walk upstairs and you're on the same floor. Sometimes you walk upstairs and you're on a different floor. So it's very hard to figure out what floor you're on. And then they all say like, oh, it's in room 405.
Well, because the numbers are in French.
But when you go into the room, there's no numbers fucking anywhere. And then I was like, there has to be an app where I can just like download the app and then be like, where is this thing I'm looking for?
I'm here to
tell
you, Matt,
I was trying to find a Vermeer.
It's unfortunate that you're not as big a gamer as me, because my old 3DS, I actually still have the Louvre guide on my 3DS. So you can use it to look through art just on your own, but it also functions as a guided tour if you are in the museum itself.
That's fascinating, because that's exactly, I tried to, we stopped at a cafe inside and I tried to find, I downloaded like different apps trying to find basically a way to do that.
Yeah.
And, cause I was really kept getting frustrated about finding my way around. I couldn't even find the top floor to get to where the Vermeer was. And then you have your entrance pass, you can go through different entrances, you cut across, but they let you know that it only works twice. So I couldn't take the shortcut
more than
once. So one time I shortcutted the wrong way. I was on the wrong side of the museum.
Oh, no.
And then I had to walk all the way through just to get to find the Michelangelo sculptures.
Yeah.
It was a big pain in the ass. But my sister was like, maybe they don't want people stealing shit, so they don't have apps that you can regularly just quickly find stuff and do stuff.
Maybe.
I don't. That was the best guess I could come up with.
There was no guided tour electronic device rental type thing?
Yes, there was a thing you can walk around with the headphones, yeah.
Okay.
And you can go to different stations, but you still have to find those stations and do that yourself. I guess there was probably a paid guide thing we didn't do for that, but it was interesting.
Okay.
But that part was interesting, yeah.
All right. What was the best part?
For me?
Yeah.
I really like the Eiffel Tower as much as it's like, the Eiffel Tower is here because it's here.
Yeah.
I think as much funny as that is, it really is fucking impressive.
Yeah.
And you go up there and you really can see the city 360 from up there. And then,
you know, that was the United States gift to France. After they gave us the Statue of Liberty, we gave them the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how that worked.
I didn't realize it is as tall as the Empire State Building.
Oh yeah. It's big.
Yeah. 328 steps we did.
Oh
yeah. Cause the elevator part was sold out. So we had to walk it. You still take the elevator up to the very top. It's this,
take
the stairs to the second tier. But also, like, again, right? Huge attraction.
Yeah.
Pizza was $5.
Oh.
Water was $2 or €2, €5.
Yeah.
Like, there was one very expensive restaurant there. There was the first time things were very expensive was there.
Okay.
But still, even still, if you didn't want to spend it, there was like very economical.
There's also just a pizza thing over there.
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, I'm so surprised at like just how affordable it was to be around these traps. Like, right after we went and grabbed lunch on the river with this little cafe, floating boat cafe. Really, totally reasonably priced regular lunch. It was really good.
Huh.
But it's such a cool structure. It's amazing when you go into it. There's so much stuff in it. There's like even like a hidden restaurant in there that I didn't even know about till after.
Oh.
You see like hidden work areas and stuff. Like it seems like so naked and just simple. And then when you're there's just so many little things in the Eiffel Tower that you're like, it's crazy how much they've hidden inside this structure.
Do they still have the Eiffel Tower room where there's just a guy in there that will Eiffel Tower your wife with you?
Yes.
Okay, good.
He's there.
Yeah.
He's lubed and Viagra'd.
Yeah.
Ready to go. No, they have
Welcome
a...
Welcome to the lube. I'm going to throw some soup at your wife. Cream of some young guy.
More probably the most fun moment of the vacation, though, was when we went to New York beforehand. We're looking to go see a show.
Uh-huh.
And I looked, and I saw Spamalot was still playing.
Oh yeah,
and
oh.
the thing.
I think they've announced they're closing, but they're still running.
They are, well, because it was a fortuitous run. They did the, whatever that that series is where they do three readings in the summer.
Oh, okay, yep.
I forget what it's called. It's the famous name of it, yeah. or whatever. But and then a few times it's happened often, but not regularly.
Yeah,
It's such a good and fun reading that people go like, "Fuck it, let's stage it. Let's put it up.
Let's do it." Yeah,
and so that's what happened with this production. And so they modernized some of the jokes in it.
Okay,
you know, and more importantly, the most important thing they did was they have a person of color playing King Arthur and a person of color playing Lancelot.
Oh, great!
And they updated jokes for that.
Oh, okay.
So like when they called this, they said you know when they mispronounce knight, the French people mispronounce knight. They
go, Knigget.
Knigget.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And they go, "What did he say?" Then? No, he didn't say what you think he said. And they said this whole bit back and forth. And I was like, "Oh, that's great.
That's good."
Well, they had this whole part where they make fun of France. And
yes.
So we're about to go to France, and also this whole motif where they make fun of people from France.
Uh-huh.
But of course, they had like the meme that came out. The woman just came out and just yelled "France," and just like went off to the side.
Oh, the screaming beauty contestant.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a ton of ad-libbing and a ton of like modern jokes in it.
Oh,
and
fun!
Really, it was so
that's
funny.
Cute.
And my kids were like, initially, like, "I don't know if we want to see this," or like, "What?" You know, they were like, "What?" And I was like, "Trust me." And they were laughing. So, like, to find a musical that, like, we were all just laughing our asses off of was great. Then we go back to our hotel, Belvedere. And I said, "Well, let's watch some. You guys introduced Monty Python." And so I sat on the bed with my kids and watched Monty Python clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
I showed them the dead parrot sketch.
Great.
Did you show them the cheese shop?
I didn't do the cheese shop. The fat waiter. The
John's pizza waiter.
But the what's not referenced fully in the show is the cross the bridge from.
Oh yeah.
Oh right.
Answer me these questions three.
Yeah.
That is so fucking perfectly written.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just so perfectly performed.
Yeah, they kind of jump straight to the rabbit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I showed that to my kids and they were just quoting it like for the next 2 days.
Nice.
And I was like, "Oh, to like sit there and go through Monty Python clips with my kids and watch them and laugh was basically one of the coolest highlights for me."
There was a time in my life, and by that I mean years.
Yes.
Where I knew every word of, I think, every Monty Python movie, but especially Holy Grail.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, the last time I watched Holy Grail, it was several years ago, but the last time I watched Holy Grail, I remember being confused. I was like, I thought I knew all the words to this, and I don't anymore, and I realized the
Spamalot
and Holy Grail have mashed together in my head.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what's what anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and then same. And so that was like, it was really neat to go back and watch those things.
But yeah.
They did that. We also saw En Juliet.
Oh, yes.
Which is a musical based on if Juliet doesn't kill herself after she realizes Romeo has.
I've heard that is fantastic.
It is very good.
Good.
Yeah, we went and saw it. At first, honestly, here's the thing. So at first, I bristled.
Yeah.
Like, "Oh, this is a musical for not my generation. Go for it." Like,
okay.
It's basically William Shakespeare battling with his wife. His wife also wants to write it and help write it. And then she makes a joke about, like, There's basically a person of the trans world as a companion to Juliet.
Great.
And early in the play, she's like, "What if we don't have to define who he, she, or they are? What if they can just be themselves and not worry about all these fucking things at all?" You know, whatever. It gets this, like, applause break
thing. Sure.
And I was like, great, fine.
Yes, I agree. Sure.
And then they write a great three-dimensional storyline, complicated, with that character is flawed and the person into is flawed, and that person is the B story, and it is an actual, like, fantastically written,
nice
modern story with that character.
Good.
And it was like, "Oh, this is just fantastic writing and done not lip speak in quote unquote wokeness, but an actual, like, exploration to making that character
real world."
Dope. And it's a jukebox musical, so again, I was like, "Oh, I probably won't like, you know, it's like all these songs I don't really give a shit about or whatever." No, they did a great job. Just actually, it turns out the person, the songwriter who's behind a lot of these, like, famous songs for Britney and Katy Perry and all these other people, actually, like, really put work into putting putting stuff. And so they actually did a good job using it to forward the story and that kind of stuff. And I went in there thinking I was going to, like, I hope my wife and kids like this. I'll get through it.
Yeah.
To, like, holy shit, this was a great, nice. Great show.
I mean, I've got bad news for you. If you are against things that are not written for your generation, it's not going to get better as you get older.
No. But I try to actually just, even when I watch Saturday Night Live, I go, how long am I supposed to keep watching this? Or and then my kid should watch it.
Right.
The answer is don't watch it.
Hold no, I got to hold the phone on that. So while we stayed at a friend's house the last night before we went to Paris, he's like, hey, you want to watch Saturday Night Live? We were having breakfast. It was like, okay. Oh, we had last night Saturday Night Live on. You want to watch it? And it was the Josh Brolin episode.
Oh, nice.
And my kids and I watched our first episode of Saturday Night Live together.
Oh. You had some moments on this trip.
They did. Yeah, for real. Because it sounds like we never, we're traveling as the foursome and these guys are all now have their own agency.
Right.
So we're not taking care of a kid.
They hit the right age.
And to again watch an episode, their first episode of SNL, and my oldest son was like, "This is on every week," and I was like, "Well, it's on like 20
most,
Saturdays
most
a year.
Weeks, yeah, a lot of weeks."
He's like, "When can we keep watching this show?" Like he was like totally like
he's in
the same way. My first SNL, I fucking love my Chris Kattan and Will Ferrell and
Sandler and
Roxbury and that kind of stuff. Yeah. Chris Farley,
sure,
was everything to me.
Phil Hartman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like when they were lit up, like this show happens all the time. And I was like, that's exactly how I felt when I was watching it. They liked it. Also, first episode of South Park, which was by accident.
Ah, okay.
Oh,
that's the alien one, right?
They
didn't South watch Park? The first yeah. episode. They saw their first
no.
episode.
Oh, they their saw first, their first episode. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
I understand.
No. They were playing their tablets, playing video games. Yeah. So I just put on the Daily Show in the hotel, and then hoping we'd all wind down and go to bed. And South Park came on right after, and they literally like, are we watching South Park? And I was like, in my head, I turned to my wife and said, like, I guess better the first time be with us than not us. Right?
Are we smoking crack?
That's it. And so
better be with us.
They and it's Cartman was playing his own vigilante, calling himself the Coon.
Oh, yep.
And dressing up like a raccoon.
Yep.
And
he's a raccoon superhero.
He shows up at the police station and they go like, oh, fuck this kid again. And then he keeps moving around the police station going like, I'm over here now. And we were all four of us just hysterical. So when we were in France, we had a third floor. It's actually a fourth floor walk up because it was a third floor apartment.
Man, you really didn't know the floors.
And because of the retail space is zero. So walk up to floor one, walk up to floor two. Yeah. So it's actually fourth floor, even though you're on the third floor walk up. It's basically they tricked me into getting a lot more stairs in.
That happened to my mother-in-law a few weeks ago. She stayed in a bed and breakfast. She has terrible knees. Her knees are in real bad shape.
Yeah.
And so she called, her husband called the bed and breakfast. We need first floor, all this stuff. Just making sure that there are not stairs to climb. Then they got there, and it turned out there were 16 stairs to get to the first floor.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So we're loading out of the apartment. I can't see my youngest son, and I was like, "Where are you, buddy?" And he's above me on another flight of stairs, and he goes, "I'm over here now."
Yeah.
And I fucking laughed so hard. He got me so good. And then I came home and his iPad save screen, he changed it to Cartman's the Coon. And I was like, this is not good parenting. I'm failing as a parent.
Ah, what are you going to do?
But I can't help it. Comedy is a currency in our household. And like to be part of their first South Park, first SNL,
and
introduce them to Monty Python.
That's great.
That was the coolest part.
That's a very,
very
monumental awesome. Bunch of downloads there going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, yep.
So a good vacation was had by all.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right.
I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. But I did go have dinner last night. Went to the Mayfair Supper Club at the Bellagio. Yep.
My buddy Jason's over there all the time.
He is. He was there last night.
Oh, good.
He was singing last night. We knew both singers last night, which that was nice. The Supper Club, Mayfair Supper Club.
It's the Bellagio.
It is. It overlooks the fountain. It's very fancy. It was my wife's birthday. It was SJ's birthday. And it was actually on her birthday, so that was nice. We were able to spend her birthday together. Went to Mayfair. Had reservations there, surprised her with that. And yeah, had a good time. They have a band, they have dancers, they have singers. It's all just a big floor show that goes on while you're there.
Yeah.
And yeah, we got there, we realized that we knew both singers, and that we are now old and didn't know any of the dancers. you know, everywhere we used to go, we knew every dancer in the place, and we're like, oh, we just don't know these people anymore. That time has just passed in our lives. Mm. Oh well. We know the singers. But it was all delicious. It was quite pricey. Unlike Matt's story with the food being reasonably priced, the Mayfair Supper Club, unreasonably priced food. But it was delicious.
Did the performers share in that unreasonably priced benefit?
I believe the performers are paid very well.
Good.
I believe everybody there is doing quite well for themselves by being there at the Mayfair.
Okay.
But I had a Dover sole. I had a nice Dover sole fish dish that was wonderful, with a French cream sauce on it, with a caviar in the sauce. So that was some Eiffel Tower sauce
right there, my friend.
It was. It was some fucking Eiffel Tower sauce is exactly what that was. And SJ got a steak, you know, and neither of us eat steak very much. She got a steak. And the best thing that I can say for the restaurant is something that I always admire when a restaurant does this well. They messed up her steak. The steak came out. She had ordered it. She said, "I want it rare, maybe medium rare, but I like that nice cool center." She said all this to the waiter when he was taking her order, and it came out and it was medium well.
Yeah, well, it's usually the opposite.
Yes, it was definitely over. You know, she cut into it, and you know, it was nice fillet. And you know, it's like a $90, $100 steak. And so she cuts into it and she shows it to me, and I'm like, that's over. And so our waiter comes back around. The service was excellent, and the waiter comes back around. And here's the best thing I could say for a restaurant. I said, her steak is a little overcooked. It's like medium well, and she was looking for rare, medium rare. And without batting an eye, he goes, "Oh my goodness, let me take that. I'll be right back with another one. It'll just be a moment." And he said to me, because I had my fish there, and they did the whole thing, you know, table side, where they deboned my fish and everything right there, which I was very excited about.
Eiffel Towered as well.
They did. Yeah. They did. They deboned it right there, which I was
fresh
very
soup coming up.
I was very happy about, because when I saw the sole on the menu, I was like, "Do I have to debone the Dover sole, or do you do that?" He's like, "We do that table side." I was like, "Great." Because getting all those little bones out is...
Yeah, forget that.
It's an art. It's a bit of an art.
Were you impressed by the table side deboning?
They did excellent deboning.
Good.
The deboning was everything I hoped it would be and more.
I saw them open for Boys to Men.
Deboning. Oh, yeah.
Table side debone. Great.
Yeah. Yeah,
great. That's that Motown 94, Philly sound, yo.
94, 95.
Belle
Biv DeVoe,
table side debone.
Yep.
Boys to Men, what a bill. Unforgettable night.
He looks at me and says, I'll be right back with another steak. He goes, "I'll be right back with another steak. It'll be so fast. Don't worry about your fish. It will still be hot when the steak comes out." And sure
hot
enough,
fish.
They got it right back out. No problem at all. Yeah, it was great. A friend of ours knew that we were going, so she had a bottle of champagne waiting for us. So we got there, and there was a wonderful bottle of champagne there waiting for us. They knew it was my wife's birthday, and so they treated us very well. They gave us a wonderful table, and then at the end of the night, they said, "Would you like any dessert?" They brought the dessert menu over. I said, "No, but how much longer is the show? Maybe we'll stay till the end of the show." He goes, "Oh, it's 15 more minutes." We go, "Great. We'd both like martinis then. We'll have after dinner martinis." He goes, "Great." He comes back over a moment later with two plates and sets them down. I said, "Are these for the martinis?" He said, "Yes, these are martini plates." And I was like, "Well done, sir. Well done." Comes back over, he sets our martinis down, and then comes back over with a giant piece, 10-layer cake.
Oh.
10 layers of this motherfucker.
That's too many.
It's too many layers. It was impossible to eat. SJ and I both sat there trying to eat this thing. One of the singers, our friend Sophia, who was one of the singers last night, she came over and sat down and was chatting with us after the show was over with. She ate it. She ate a lot of it as well. There was a good third of this thing left sitting on the table when we left.
Yeah.
It was so much fucking cake.
The band hopes that. Like, they watch as they're playing. And then, like, if they leave, I'm going to eat the rest of that cake.
Yeah. We're like, if anybody had just walked over and been like, can I get a bite of that cake? Yep. You sure can.
Help yourself, sir.
Yep. And then we went to a new place. We went to a new place in the Bellagio, the Pinky Ring.
Oh, that's
it's Bruno Mars's
Bruno
new
Mars's place.
Yeah. And delightful. Really nice.
There's a really strange rumor about Bruno Mars that hit over the weekend.
A couple of strange rumors, yeah.
Well, the Bellagio said it was bullshit.
Yes.
So MGM
has done whatever they can to squash this rumor completely.
Yeah, basically there's a rumor that Bruno Mars plays Vegas so often, which, by the way, like, a lot of A-listers are playing Vegas very often.
Yeah.
So the idea that you need to justify why Bruno Mars was playing as often as he was.
He had a residency for quite a while at the Cosmopolitan. Yeah, he's been around.
Right. And so rumor that he basically was owed millions of dollars in gambling debts, that they were giving out $1 million markers.
Do you know what the number is? The number 50. The rumor was $50 million in gambling debts.
Which is a crazy amount of money, even for very rich people,
yes.
And even for casino markers. That would be
that's a lot of money to get up there.
And MGM came out and was like, what the fuck? I don't know where this rumor came from.
Yeah.
No, it's not true at all.
It seems, what I can tell from it, I haven't researched this or anything, but what I can tell from it anecdotally is that one source reported this, and then a couple of Vegas blogs, the regular rumor mill grabbed this and ran.
Yeah.
And it went from one source that I had not heard of before.
Right.
The initial news source that I had never heard of before said this. And then people were like, this is too good. We have to go.
We have to
talk about it. Bruno Mars owes MGM $50 million.
And
even in the reporting, they were like, but MGM is paying Bruno Mars $60 million for this residency that he's doing and these concerts that he's doing and whatever. So he's still in the black. Wait, that's
two different things.
Okay, but you're saying that he has the money, so it's okay. I bet he'd still be mad about losing $50 million.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be losing that kind of money.
Yeah.
But I doubt that he has $50 million.
It doesn't seem if it is the case, then MGM is doing a very nice customer service job of just lying their asses off.
Well, this has happened.
Yeah.
That was the case for Dice Clay.
Yeah.
Dice Clay was famously always trying to work off his gambling debts.
Yeah, Dice owed a lot of money. I mean, Michael Jordan,
right.
Famously, would lose a lot of money.
Barkley, yeah.
Yep.
But they didn't do public appearances to
no.
They didn't. So you didn't see Michael Jordan signing basketballs at the old sports shop trying to get over the old gambling debts.
Yeah.
But anyways, I felt bad because basically I felt like that press blip.
Yeah.
Ate up the press that he was getting for Pinky Ring, which I think is a really neat. I love the name.
It's a good name. It's a good venue.
You're not allowed to take any photos in there.
Oh, and we watched that in action. So when Bruno was there, they have a sign up out front, no phones allowed.
Yeah.
And apparently when Bruno was actually there, because it's a music venue, it's a bar with a nice stage on it and everything. And so apparently when he shows up, they just take your phone. When you walk in, they take it and they put it in one of those phone safe things
Vault
or whatever.
Thing, yeah.
And so last night, though, they were not taking the phones, but there's still the signs up, and then they just say, "Don't take pictures inside."
Yeah.
If you have your phone out, that's fine, but don't take pictures. And I watched someone take a picture, and a security guard who was about my size ran past me to get to this woman who had just taken like a selfie up there, nice-looking thing, whatever. And quickly but very firmly explained to her, "Oh, no, ma'am, you cannot take that picture, and I need to watch you delete that picture," and then made her go into the recently deleted folder and delete it from that. And I was like, she took a picture of nothing.
Right.
And they care.
They
fucking care.
Yeah.
But it was some of the Brian Newman band was on stage and with an old friend that we ought to have on the show, Sky DeMiles was singing. Sky's been a singer in Vegas for a decade now. It was fun. We walked in, we were chatting with the fella out front, said, yeah, we're in entertainment. What's going on in here tonight? Is there a cover? What's happening? And he goes, oh, it's members of Brian's band, and there's a fantastic singer in here who sings with Brian's band from time to time. I think you'll really like it a lot. We walk in, like, oh, it's Sky. I ran Sky's very first gig when she first moved to Vegas at the cool. Tropicana years and years ago. I was like, oh, we know everybody. This is great. And yeah, we stood around, we chatted, we had a wonderful night.
Good.
And yeah, it was all very good.
It was a good Vegas night out.
It was.
Well, happy birthday, SJ.
Yes. Happy birthday to SJ. I'm glad she still puts up with me. Let's do a little Jock versus Nerd.
For now.
Yeah. We all know that time is limited. Oh, am I? Fuck you don't have to remind me.
I'm on the hunt for balls. Hunt. The hunt for balls.
No.
Bling, bling, master devils.
Oh, no, a bicycle. We got a scooperty coming to us today from Winter's Scoop. The categories are celestial bodies, antibodies, nobodies, and everybodies. Matt, you're up first.
Everybodies.
Scooperty. Oh, for 400.
Yeah.
Who sings, acting on your best behavior, turn your back on Mother Nature, everybody wants to rule the world?
Everybody wants to rule the world.
That's it. Matt Donnelly is the answer.
Bartman, you got any help for me on this one?
Isn't that Simon and Garfunkel?
It's not.
It's not. Yeah.
No. We can eliminate them.
Oh,
I forget their
Show
name.
Show me not Simon and Garfunkel.
I'll pass.
Oh, that's me. I have to pass too. Paul?
Tears for Fears.
Yeah. That's it.
There you go. That's Tears it. For Fears all day. It's me. I'll try Celestial Bodies, 400. Besides the sun, this is the largest body in our solar system. What is your mom?
Your mom. Oh,
stay down.
I bet
stay
it is down. Your mom. I bet it is it's your mom.
It's either your mom or Jupiter, but I'm going to go with your mom, Jupiter. Jupiter will also accept your mom. Yep. Paul.
Shit.
Oh, the scoops are good at this.
I will try nobodies for 400.
Famously not having a body, ghosts have been in our stories throughout history, but are they real?
This is are ghosts real? That's the question.
Are ghosts real, Paul?
No ghosts.
No ghost here.
Ghost here.
Nope.
There you go.
No ghosts.
Matt, you're back up.
Nobody's 800.
Let's see. Who is the actor who credits the good shape he got into for his role in the movie Nobody for surviving his heart attack?
Oh, fucking A.
You know this.
I do know this.
I think it's also the cause of his heart attack.
Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk. All that
Bob Odenkirk.
Extreme exercise.
Oh, was it?
Also, I don't think it helped.
He okay.
Pushing his body to that crazy limit. But yeah, well, he knows best.
There you go. I'll try antibodies for 400. The microscopic disease fighters are produced by what cells in your body? You know, as much as I hate to say this,
yes,
it's the white ones. Yeah, it's the white ones. White blood cells, B cells specifically. If you said T, that's wrong. Good, I didn't say T.
Yeah, I didn't say T, motherfucker.
Yeah, see? Paul.
A pity fool who mentions my blood cells.
I'll do nobody's.
Sorry, again. Mr. Blood Cell. For 1200, like a clown, I put on a show, and the pain is real even if nobody knows, and I'm crying inside and nobody knows it but me. Who sings this song?
Tears of a Clown by...
Also not Simon and Garfunkel.
No, it's Smokey Robinson.
Is that his thing, though?
It's Tears of a Clown.
Yeah. Is that the Tears of a Clown song?
Yeah.
It's Bartman leaping in to help him. He wasn't even asked. He wasn't even asked to help.
Sorry.
He's helping.
Sorry.
I don't know.
Give him Paul 3 points,
I will
maybe?
Pass because I'm not convinced.
Matt.
Smokey Robinson.
Okay, let's see. Tony Rich or the Tony Rich Project, not Babyface.
What?
All right. Yes, now, different lyrics. Different lyrics.
You fucked me, Bartman.
Yeah. Get him.
You already had 0 points.
Now I have negative 800.
Fucked him worse.
1,200.
Matt, you're up.
Nobody for 2,000.
Let's see. Nobody, no crime is the false belief that you can't be convicted without a body. What colorfully named gangster like to say that phrase all the time?
Colorfully named gangster.
Red Button.
The Purple Goomba.
Mr. Red.
Gangster, not Al Capone. Oh, it's Bob Marley.
Nobody, no crime. No crime. Nobody, no crime.
Pass.
You cannot find.
Passes to me.
The man I kill. And so I get off in Trent Town.
I don't know. Yeah, pass.
Story is hearsay, Your Honor.
Right? Somebody with a color.
Right.
Who do we have? We have.
Blue Ball.
Is this like one of the characters from Reservoir Dogs? It's like Mr. Pink or something?
No, I don't think so. Oh!
Is this a real thing, or is a real gangster or a fictional gangster?
You know, you
now
you,
that I've passed, I have that
might,
question.
It might be a fictional gangster. I'll pass because I don't know.
Let's see then. Oh, Whitey Bulger.
It was Whitey Bulger.
White is a color.
Whitey Bulger.
Oh. He's awful.
It's me. What?
No. Old Cuddly Whitey Bulger?
He's finally dead, right? He's dead now?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Died in prison.
I'll go Celestial Bodies for 800. How many rocky bodies currently known as planets are in our solar system?
Oh, this is going to get tricky.
I'm going to upset a lot of people right now.
Well, currently known as, so there you go.
That's right. Yeah, so the answer that I'm going to go with is 8. Fuck you, Pluto.
I think that's right.
Yep. Oh, 4. The other 4 are gas, and Pluto isn't a planet.
Oof, that's a tough one.
It's 8 planets, but only 4 of them are rocky.
Rocky bodies.
Yeah.
Tweet.
Rocky bodies. Paul.
Rocky bodies, you'll always be home sweet home to me. I'll try everybody's for 8.
Let's see. Everybody. Yeah.
Rock your body. Oh, this is who sang it?
I believe so, yeah.
That's the Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet's back, all right. Matt.
Let's see. What are the category? What are the first two categories?
Celestial bodies and antibodies, and we have everybodies as well. Score check. Paul has 1,600. I have 0. Matt has -400.
Fucking Bartman.
Yeah.
I'll do celestial bodies
for 1,200. Last seen in 1986 and returning in 2061. Halley's Comet is arguably the most famous comet in history. What was Halley's first name?
Gertrude.
Show me Haley. Gertrude Haley.
I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm passing as well. Paul?
This did not come up in France.
Oh, what was his name? I pass. I don't remember.
Let's see. Edmund, fun fact, 2023 is the year that the comet is at its furthest distance from us, out past Neptune.
Oh, I miss you, buddy.
Yeah.
Come on back.
Come back to me.
Neptune, I believe, is a gas planet. I'm going celestial bodies for 2,000. Mentioned in the first question, what is the body in our solar system that has the most gravity? That would be your mom. Yeah, gotta be your mom, right?
I'm sure that's true.
Maybe Jupiter, but probably your mom.
Yeah.
Your mom, that ugly bitch. The sun is accepted too, I guess.
Oh, the sun.
Paul, you're up. Well, yeah, the sun holds the solar system together. The gravity.
Everybody's 12.
Sun. Yeah. Whoa, oh, 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 everybody form a line. Oh, 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 everybody form a line.
Rock, 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 your body.
This is also Smokey Robinson.
It almost sounds like, New Kids, but I don't think it is. I'll pass.
Matt.
Pass.
Me too. Springsteen. That's the E Street Shuffle.
Oh, sure. We're going to see him Saturday.
I was going to say Friday.
Friday?
It's Friday.
It's Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt and I are both going to see Springsteen this week.
That's cool.
Matt, you're up.
Oh, hold on. Our next guest is stuck outside.
Oh, shit. Matt's going to do antibodies for 800. You're answering for him.
Oh, okay.
In effect, creating the first vaccine, Dr. Edward Jenner cured what disease?
Isn't that polio?
Let's try polio. Smallpox, using cowpox from a milkmaid. I don't know. What? Using cowpox from a milkmaid? I don't even understand what that means. Like, how did they do that?
I don't know.
Let's see. I'll try everybody's for 2,000. It's a Daily Devil. See, it's still for 2,000 because I only have 2,000 points. Seeing the discount code for rooms at the Orleans Hotel and Casino in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada for Scoop Fest 2024, the Scoopabration. All right, let's see. Superman, Catwoman, Flash, everybody! 23 penis!
There it is.
That is correct. Paul, you're up.
You got
antibodies for 1,200 or 2,000.
Is there a daily double on one of those?
There is. One of them's a daily double. So you can win, I believe, with this question if you get the daily
double.
I
better try the 2,000 then.
Let's try it. Do the antibodies produced by the COVID vaccine help prevent the spread of and death from the COVID-19 virus? So it's just yes or no question.
Yes.
I think the answer is yes. It is.
It's got to be.
Not a trick question there.
There you go.
And Matt, closing out the category and the game, antibodies for 1,200, and it's a daily double.
Did I get points in the last one?
You did not.
Okay.
Yep. The answer, by the way, though, was smallpox. Yeah, smallpox.
I guess it was
cured by cowpox. Mm. Yeah, that's the one you missed. Let's see. The question is, the overuse of prescription antibiotics created the rise of the scary MRSA infection.
True.
What drug does the M stand for?
Oh, man. M and MRSA. Do you know this one?
Moderna.
MRSA me. Lord have MRSA.
This is a double, so I have to guess.
Yeah.
Massive.
Let's try massive. Something like that.
Methicillin. Yeah.
Methicillin, yeah. Leave it to the method up bacteria to ruin your day. And that is the game. I win with 4,000. Paul's in second with 3,600. Matt's in third with negative 2,400. And that's from Winter's Scoop.
Guys, what have I wanted?
Wait, nobody can hear you.
This is the new podcast.
This is it.
You're doing incredibly complicated.
That's right.
Medical.
That's right.
Quizzes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you
it's,
do.
For yeah, the format's right? Completely
is this
changed.
Is track going into
that's
the mix
it.
Or no?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I'll shout enough to get onto Matt's mic. There you
go. So foreshadowing for our next guest is for our next episode.
It's true.
Pip the Magic Dragon is here. But he'll be here for the next episode.
That's right. On a microphone that's working and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
This
yeah.
one is not.
That one's not. It's not on.
All right, but
that's the game. Yeah, all those stuff. If you want to contact us, heyscoops.com. Send us Scooperty. Send us all the Jock versus Nerd stuff. Send us some email. Send us some Scoop mail. Buy your tickets to Scoop Fest. Do all of those things, and yeah, come out to Scoop Fest. It'll be great.
Yeah, come on out, Alex. Thanks for joining us here in the churn.
Absolutely.
Are you your pizza place is open? Yes.
Well. Yes, but no, that's going to be ending shortly. I'm going to be leaving that establishment.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the person I've been working with, me and him, have some differencing of opinions. So
okay.
Going to branch out and do my own thing later this year.
He wants all to make right. lasagna.
All right.
Please put my microphone on.
No, I can't.
All right. I want to thank you for stopping by. Good
Thanks
to see
for
you.
Having me.
And I want to thank all the Scoops here. I want to thank the following people who all... yell from their French bicycles. Signature Curl Scoop, The Microscope, We All Scream for Mark McLean, Unbanned Scoop, One Small Scoop for Man, A Scoop of Root Canal, Aaron Boyd, Aaron Goff, Adam Stickney, AJB, Akshay Mysore, Alas Scoop 6666, All-Star Scoop, Ameriscott Scoop, Anais Thomasian, Andrea Anderson, Andrew J. Hughes, Andrew January, Andrew Koenig, Andrew Osachuk, Angela Chan, Ant Foods, Anton Jernberg, and Apple Scoop.
Hold on, I just got a text. Piff is locked outside.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The following people may approach you with a blank-eyed stare and say, Twale, Blue Line Scoop, Bob, Bobby Becerra, Brad Martin, Brad McCloskey, Brendan Light, Brendan Allen, Brett Cocker, Brendan Maddox, a.k.a. Anarcho Scoop, Brian Richard, Brian Terrell, Brogan Hastings, Brooks Lyle, Brian Gregston, Brian McLeod, Brian Traves, Buster Kamikaze, Seawick, Cameron Hall, Canadian Scoop Crystal, Captain James T. Scoop, Cargo Van Killa, Carolyn Albert, Cassie Rice, Charles Eaton, and Charles Jashecki.
All right, and the following people all got a ham and cheese sandwich after getting a new hip. Mm. That's Avon Zarlez, AWOL Scoop, Bad Pirate Scoop, Birdie, Bart Funk, Base Camp Scoop, Bossy the Portuguese Scoop, BB Hermit, Bearded Scoop 3, Bear Scoop, BJ Joyer, Belgian Triple Scoop, Ben Gao, Ben Smith, Ben Sherman Scoop, Bittel Scoop, and Big Sexy the Digital Momad.
These folks have volunteered to run the old Eiffel Tower on your significant other. Charlie nice Thompson. Home.
Thank you so
Chelsea
much.
Chelsea Farr. Chris Ellis. Chris Fisher. Chris Jackson. Chris Jorg. Chris K. Chris Melancon. Christine Elsesser. Christine Starr. Christopher Bartshe. Christopher Hayworth. Christopher Huff. Christy Salinas. Chronicler Scoop. CJ Magnetta and Clayton Shoney.
The following scoops all walked into a French bakery, and when the people in the bakery said, how do you want to transport these goods out of here? They just said, oh, bag it. It's Clown in the Brothel, Coach Rat Bastard, Coconut Time Travel, Colleen Scoopalicky, Boom Boom Down, Cone Photo Rescooptor, Corian Ichimura, Corny Scoop, Counselor Matt, Country Scoop, Craig DeFarmer, Craig Little, Crazy Cat Lady Scoop, Chris Mayer, Cup of Scoop, Dan Martin, Daniel Loser, Daniel Mattis Ferrer, Daniel O'Connor, Danny Olwine, Darren Cunningham, Darth Scooper, Dave Serial, Dave Hansen, Dave Slusher, Dave Johnson, Dave Gravel, David K, David Peterson, David Sorensen, David Walker, Ed Laszlo, Derek Dozier, Dole Whip Scoop, Dirty Old Scoop, Distiller Scoop, Doc Scoop, Don Doty, Don't Say Scoop Name, Doug Lay, Dr. Science Scoop, Dr. Scoop Little, Duck Flambe, and Duke Scoop. Thank you all so much.
Thank you all so much. Hey, if you want to be thanked on air or get a plethora of other rewards.
A plethora?
That's right, a plethora. Head on over to PreachingFun.com. Do it now.
Come visit right now.
That's the next movie to show your kids. The Three Amigos.
We've already watched it.
Oh, good.
They love it. The piano scene.
Oh, yeah. So good. And if you love My Little Buttercup, head on over to fartsinabag.biz.
Smile.
Farts. Farts in a bag.
It's a sweater. That's fartsinabag.biz. That, along with preachingfun.com, it takes you over to our Patreon page, where for as little as $2 a month, you can help keep this show on the air. Full stop. Keep us on the air. Keep us doing what we're doing. We sure do love you.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves out there. We love you, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Come out to Scoop Fest, May 9th, 10th, and 11th at New Orleans.
Scoopfest.com. Get your tickets now.
Road time.
Yeah.